And part of what God uses in our lives is each other. One of the reasons we come to church is because sometimes just the way someone else shares or they worship or praying together, something that God wants to give us that somehow we're having a tough time getting for ourselves, when we come together, God says, hey, here it is. And so I'm praying that that is going to be for each of you this morning. It's so good to see all of you. We're a four-generation church, right? We're a generation that believes from grandma and grandpa down to the littlest one, all together. God uses all the generations together to speak to us. And so part of our call as a church family is to make sure each of the generations has different ways to speak into our lives. And today we are thrilled as one of our deacons, Kenny Mason, is going to come and share God's word with us as we're in this series about hearing God's voice. And what we're trying to do and what we've noticed over the summer is that as a church family, I'm one part of the family. But there's a lot of us in this room that make this family what it is. And when we hear from each other, God strengthens us in better, greater ways. And so today we wanted to talk about, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 16, so you can turn there. Today we want to talk about, how do we understand what God is saying to us by the closed doors and the circumstances that don't turn out the way we want them to turn out? How do we know what God is saying to us when there's something we seem like, oh, I think that's the door I want to walk through, but God closes it? What does that mean to us, and how can we understand that and keep hearing God's voice? And each week, when we're looking at these different ways God speaks to us, we try to find someone from our church family who's walking this out. And so not only is Kenny a great leader among us as a church and kind of part of the next great wave of leadership, generation of leadership in our church, but he and his wife, Naima, are absolutely walking this word out. And so there's an authority there, and a way that we can hear that will be even more powerful. So if you would you welcome a great friend of mine, Kenny Mason, as he comes to share the word of God with us this morning.
All right. I can't stop smiling because I'm so excited to be before you today, giving you a word. And I'm extremely thankful that I get to do this. Thank you so much to Pastor Sean and for giving me the opportunity, trusting me to be able to give you guys a word, a much-needed word for the church today. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting me again, my name is Kenny Mason. I'm a deacon here at Cornerstone. And a couple of other things that we do is that my wife and I are small group leaders, and we also are youth leaders inside of Cornerstone Youth. So get the opportunity to love on them and love on you guys. So today, we are going to be going over doors. What are we talking about when we're talking about doors? Doors, closed doors, open doors. And right now, with the series that we're in, Summer Prayer Journal, it couldn't be a better time to talk about how to discern God's voice through closed and open doors. And I couldn't think about a better story than Acts 16, when we study Paul and Silas as they sail and they go on this journey and they run into a couple of places where there are some doors that God doesn't want them to go through. So we're going to go ahead and begin at Acts 16, beginning at verse 6. If you will follow along with me. And I'm reading out of a New Living Translation, just so you know. So we're going to go ahead and jump into it. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to hear your voice. Would you help us to continue to understand, Lord, the attention and the things that you're trying to do in our lives, Lord, through doors and closing and opening them to better understand who you are, Lord. Bless the hearers that they will understand, Lord, and make it relatable to them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, love that I get to do this together. And before we talk about Acts 16, I just want to give you a little backstory of Acts 15 and what happened. So Paul and Barnabas are together, and there's this council in Jerusalem. And after that council, because there were some things going on, some disputes, after this council, Paul and Barnabas get together, and they say, hey, let's devise a plan. We're going to, you know, check on the churches that we've been to previously. Barnabas says, okay, I want to take John Mark with me. Paul says, no, I don't want to take John Mark with me. I don't want to do that. So the Bible says that the contention was so sharp between the two that they separated, right? One went their way and another one went the other way. So Barnabas took John Mark with him, went his way. Paul chose Silas. They prayed. They sent them out. And that's where we begin in Acts 16. And this is Paul's secondary mission trip. So my heart for everybody today is talking about closed doors, right? Closed doors gives us hope and builds our faith that God has something greater for us. Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what God means, right? So everything that God does is in his love. He loves us. And that's the reason why sometimes we seek that opportunity and God says no. You know? And the beauty of that is that God has something greater for us. There's something greater for you on the other side of that no, right? So what we need to do, this is the action, what we need to do is just to remember and trust the Lord with your lives completely. Only then will we be able to see how God speaks through closed and open doors. So through this sermon, we're going to understand how to discern the voice of God through this place of kind of a hard ship and a good ship. So also, we're going to be talking about 3 points as we go. As we go through the sermon, God closes doors. Why does he do it? God closes doors to protect us, to redirect us, and to keep us from less than his best. So these 3 things are going to be super essential, and we're going to use the word of God as we explain this. So let's go ahead and talk about a big question, right? So you're saying, Kenny, why should I, you know, appreciate this place where God says no to me? You know, I'm delighting in the Lord, and, you know, so he can give me the desires of my heart, and my desires are his desires. So how come he isn't blessing me with those desires? I just want to know, why is it good for that closed? Why should I appreciate a closed door? Which brings us to this question. Why is it good for me to appreciate closed doors? You know, why is that a good place? Why am I happy about this? Why am I explaining this? And if I flip this question, right, I think it sounds a little bit like this. Why should I appreciate God not giving me what I want? Right? So once we flip that question, we can see the ugliness and the true intentions of our heart and what we truly mean in our submission to God. Right? Because God is closing doors again. We're talking about his love. He loves us. So he's not going to allow us to go somewhere that he doesn't want us to go. Right? So it's not that God is not giving you what you want. He's trying to provide you with what you need. That's exactly the heart behind everything, right? So God closes those doors. Sometimes closed doors looks like it could come in the form of a rejection. It could come in the form of failure. It could come in the form of a denial. Or it could come in the form of a check in the spirit is what I like to call it. And what I mean by check in the spirit is sometimes we all can kind of attest to it. The Holy Spirit kind of tugs on you. You know, you have this uneasiness feeling inside of you telling you that you should go here instead of going here. That's that check in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is just letting you know, hey, we really should go right and not left. Hey, we really should contact this person and not leave them hanging. We really should do this, right? So that's what I like to call a check in the spirit, and we're going to be talking about that. So let's kind of peel the onion on Paul and Silas as they begin to see and run into these closed doors. Right. So closed door number one, as we read in verse 6, reading a little bit further, it says, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. I love definitions. I love meanings. And when I biblically define this word prevented, it means everything that it means. It means to stop or withhold or, you know, to, you know, just stop. But one of the other words was a check. Right. It checks you. So Paul didn't have a Paul and Barnabas moment. It was a different experience with Paul and Silas. They both together felt a check in their spirit for them to not go one way. So God closed that door so that they could seek another way, right? So closed door number two. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. That second time around when they wanted to go to Bithynia and Mysia. And I told you I love definitions. I looked up the, just randomly looked up the definition of Mysia, and it was the land of beech trees. So it's kind of hard for Paul and Silas to avoid that, especially for us in 2019 when it's 100 degrees outside. So, yeah. So what does this mean, though? So Paul and Silas are in this place where God is just saying, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. So I want to paint a picture. So everything, they begin in Jerusalem, right? And they end up in this place in Macedonia in northern Greece. I calculated, and altogether, they travel 1,618 miles. So just to make that equivalent to kind of what we see, that's like traveling from Virginia to Colorado. That was their journey, right? So why is this important? Because God gave them this word. He said, hey, I want you to carry the word to the Gentiles. I want you to preach. I'm calling you to them, right? So within their obedience, they still had to be obedient to the word of God telling them, no, go this way. No, go that way. And that's that closed door. And it doesn't matter how long their journey is. It doesn't matter how long your journey is or confused your journey may seem or hard your walk might seem in your life. God still wants you to be obedient through these doors that he closes in your life. Amen? So that's where we kind of getting at. And so let's go ahead and talk about those 3 points because it's going to be a great word. It's really going to help us and just to understand this a little bit better. Number one, God closes doors to protect us. I love this because and I just want to give you a little quick spiritual nugget about Barnabas. We talk about Barnabas and how they, you know, had a contention and, you know, it was so sharp. The Bible says they separated. And we're going to read how Paul and Silas were beaten in Acts 16. And they were thrown in jail. And before they get out, the guard says, hey, you guys can go. And Paul says, whoa, we're Roman citizens. We shouldn't have been treated like this in the first place, right? So they get the special treatment because, as you know, Romans treat Romans a special way. But I want to remind you that Barnabas, this individual that was traveling with Paul, was not a Roman citizen. So think about what could have happened if Paul and Barnabas was in this place of getting persecuted. They wouldn't have been able to have that word and say, hey, we're both Romans, because he wasn't a Roman. So just a quick nugget of how God protects us and how God protected Barnabas, right? So how did God protect Paul and Silas is the question, the protection. How did he close that door? So in my research, I looked it up, and I was just everywhere trying to figure out why and, you know, the could've and the would've and the should've and all of this stuff. But in reality, God truly protected them, and he closed that door. What is the reason? We don't know. We don't know why God protected them from those closed doors. But guess what, church? That has to be okay. That has to be okay. Because God is going to protect you from things. And sometimes you don't know. Just like my children. You know, sometimes they just don't understand what I've been through in my life. So I'm trying to help them and protect them through danger and bad things. That's my job as a parent. And that's God's job as a heavenly father to protect us. Right? So this is good. The more you focus on the why God, the less you focus on the what's next, right? So the more I focus on the God, why didn't you give me the job that I wanted? How come you didn't open that door for me? I'm seeking this opportunity. I've been praying for a long time. I just want to know, why isn't that door opening for me? That's the wrong question. We have to focus on what's next for me, God. What do you want next for me? Is this even what you want me to pursue, right? This is the question where we have to ask ourselves. And so number two, God closes doors to redirect us, right? Again, we see this moment where not one but two closed doors Paul and Silas go through, and Paul has this vision of a man in northern Greece in Macedonia and says, hey, come here, right? So God provided that redirection for them and redirected their route and where they were supposed to go. And that's the same thing that happens with us, right? God always shows the way by getting in the way. Sometimes you can look at God like, God, just get out of my way, like a fly, like kind of annoying. But that's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong mindset. God is trying to show you the way by getting in the way and ruining your plans and your wisdom, and so he can impart his wisdom and his plans inside of us. Amen? So God is relationship over direction. a lot of times we can kind of see how we treat God. Sometimes we want to treat him like a GPS navigation app. We want to press it, and okay, God, I need to go here. How do I get here? We get the directions, and we seek the route, and then when we're done with and we're at our destination, we just kind of wipe that app out the way, and then we're just doing our thing, right? That's not God. That's not God at all. What he wants to do is have a relationship with us, right? Over direction, because I'm telling you, intimacy with the Lord is key. Because the more I acknowledge God, the Bible says that he will direct me. The more I acknowledge him and the more I trust in him and the more I love on him, God is going to give me those things. The Bible says, seek ye first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. And all of these things includes direction. Amen? So, I've been talking a lot about closed doors. So, number three, God closes doors to keep us from less than his best. So we've been talking about closed doors, and I hear you kind of saying, oh, what about the open door? What about when God says yes? So we're going to talk about that, because Paul and Silas finally get to their destination. And as we talk about this, you can see why and the purpose of why he withheld them from these two places that they wanted to go to, right? So what about those open doors? And we're going to talk about that, because there was a lot of things. And as you're reading with us, and if you were tracking, Acts 16 was through the Bible reading this week. So hopefully I can enhance some things for you guys as the Lord speaks. But let's talk about the open door, right? These are all the things that's happened. So first thing that happens when they get to Macedonia, Lydia and her family was baptized. So Paul and Silas meet Lydia, baptize the whole family, right? Rebukes a demon-possessed woman, which ultimately led to her freedom, right? And they were beaten publicly and chained. And I can hear you saying, well, I thought you said good things were happening, right? But just because you enter into a season that the Lord wants you to go into doesn't mean that everything is going to be good. It just means that he's going to be with you, right? Amen? So they were beaten, right? So they had the opportunity. They were thrown into jail. And while they were in jail, they had the opportunity to witness to prisoners. I love the story because they're in jail, right? And think about just jail. Other guys are looking at these two guys singing praises to the Lord. What is wrong with them? We're locked up, you know. I have a life sentence, and you got, you know, this amount of years. You got this amount of years, and you're singing, you know. That's good, because guess what? These other prisoners are hearing the word of the Lord. They're being encouraged in their faith. Right? So guess what? They also are set free from chains by an earthquake. And not only Paul and Silas were set free, but the prisoners were set free. So this is where my heart is getting at. Not only were they set free, but the prisoners were set free. Imagine what happened and who they witnessed to themselves and what they saw and heard inside a prison. We saw two strange men praising God, but guess what? We were set free. Amen? So another thing. The guard sees these prisoners and sees everybody. He says, hey, I can't explain this, so I'm just going to go ahead and end my life. No, Paul says, stop. Prevented someone from committing suicide. That's big. Also, the guard brought them to the house, and he baptized the guard and his entire family. And number eight, my favorite thing, they ate a good meal. Right? After all of this, who wouldn't want a good plate of fried chicken and, you know, some macaroni and cheese and some yams and some green beans and, you know, we don't have any greens in there. Throw in a side salad if you want to, but, you know, they probably just had maybe like fish and bread or something. I don't know, you know. But one of my favorite things. But look at what God did through this open door, right? So much lives got changed, and none of it was about them. It wasn't about them. It was all about Lydia. It was all about the guard. It was all about the demon-possessed women. It was all about the prisoners that was in jail. Everybody heard the word of the Lord. But guess what? It was through closed doors that they had to embrace that. It was through those closed doors, and it was through obedience, and it was through them, again, remembering and trusting in the Lord and giving God their lives completely so that he can begin to lead them. Amen? So, a little bit, my favorite quote, we cannot pray for doors without, we cannot pray for open doors without accepting closed doors, right? It's impossible. And you can just pretty much just not even expect to see a no. As believers in today's society, today's world, We live in a society where we want what we want, what we want it, right? But it's impossible to not run into closed doors, as you can see in the Word. So before we get to the next part, I want to kind of tell something, a story that is really important to me and dear to me. And it's involving me and what happened to me. And this is why I am, my family is walking this word out. So if you know me, then you know I work at the bank and love what I do and provide it for my family and just being able to help out people financially. But after a while, I wanted to seek a promotion. And I said, you know what, I want to get a promotion. I want to go up in the company. I got things I want to do and things I want to accomplish. And I feel like I can do it. I feel like I'm ready. You know, and through this, you know, of course, you got to apply and, application after application after application that I submitted, I would get a no. I would get a no every single time. And, you know, at this time, I knew that God had something greater for me in what I wanted to do. I knew he wanted to, you know, I knew I wanted to evangelize, that I wanted to pastor, that I wanted to, serve somewhere. I knew this, but I was kind of putting that here. Right? And I was putting what I wanted before me, in front of me. So I said, God, you know, I'm going to get there, but right now, I want to seek this. I want to seek this promotion. Kept getting closed doors. And I finally applied for one position, and it really hurt me. It really hit me because it was another closed door. And they said no. And I got really sad. I got really sad. And I said, you know what, God, how come I just can't excel in this company? I don't get it. Is it me or, you know, what's going on? I just got really down and got really sad. So, text Pastor Sean, and this is the text message that I'm going to read to you guys. This is really important to me. This was 2 years ago, November 17, 2017. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. And for those of you wondering, this is an Android phone for you Android lovers out there. I know you're out there. Everybody doesn't have an iPhone, right? So this is what I said. Please keep me in prayer after receiving these closed doors that I received, right? Please keep me in prayer, trying to stay encouraged, keep seeking promotion in the company and getting declined. I'm letting it get to me, and I don't want to be defeated. I'm trying to keep it together. This is Pastor Sean texting me back. Will do. Remember your true calling and vision. Most likely, doors are staying closed because the one door God has already have open. Right? I can't tell you how much peace and how much hope and how much my faith was built up and encouraged in this message, right? Because ultimately, I realized that God was closing doors, right? This is the opportunity for me to have faith in God and remember and trust him because he has something greater for me. Remember that God closes doors to build our hope and to build our faith. That, hey, there's something greater on the other side. There's something greater for you. And there's a reason why that door keeps closing. There's a reason why that opportunity isn't being open to you. It's because he loves you and he has something greater for you. And this message helped me so much, right? Because 2 years ago, I was here. And this ultimately led to me seeking my credentials to be a certified member with the Assemblies of God. And now I'm finished with school and I'm here preaching before you today. Amen. But it wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have embraced that closed door, right? I got that, I was discouraged. And sometimes we need to lean on other people to encourage us and say, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, a lot of the times that's my wife. I tell her what's going on and we back and forth, ping pong with each other, and we exhort one another and say, hey, it's going to be okay. This might not be the door for you, but there is an open door for you, right? And I'll tell you guys something else, too. I tested this word, and I tested the word of the Lord again. And, you know, I applied for another position. But this time I was doing it, and I was happy. I was happy doing it. I didn't go in and saying, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, hoping and wishing that something would happen. I went in and said, whether God gives me this door or not, I still believe in what he has for me. Amen? I still believe in you. I still believe in you, right? So I applied for it, and I never got a quicker no in my life. It was so fast, you know? It was like somebody just slammed the door shut in my face, just like, doom, you know? But I was so happy, you know, that I didn't get it, you know? And they said no, and I said, yes. God is doing great things, you know? He's got something greater for me, you know? And that's what he wants you to do, man. That's what he wants us to be. You know, it could be discouraging. I get it. And it could be long. You know, I've been waiting. But the Bible says while you're waiting, you need to renew your strength. You need to get big spiritually. So when you walk through that door and you walk through that new season, you're not walking in the same. Your mind is renewed and your mind is conformed to the things of God, and your faith is building, your hope is building, your peace is there, knowing that he wants something greater than you want. Amen. So another thing that always gets to me is this quote: we want what we want when we want it. You know, every single time. You know, I'm not saying it is bad to, you know, have desires and have things that you want in life, but commit that to the Lord. Right? Send it to God and say, God, this is what I want for my life. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. You know? And God will continue to give you peace because he will speak to you. And our job is to discern the voice, to discern that voice through closed and open doors, right? And when they keep closing, you know, just say, hey, God, what do you have for me? And just wait and rest in that hope. You know, sometimes I got my book and we're in this amazing series. And when I journal, one of the first things that I always hear, it never fails, I always hear from the Lord, I love you. You know? And after a while, I said, okay, God, I know you love me. Tell me something else, you know. Tell me something good, you know. And I know you love me, you know. Just say something else, you know. And I had to check myself, right? I had to check myself because my Heavenly Father was trying to tell me that he loves me. And everything that I wanted was in that I love you. I want to lead you because I love you. I want to close this door because I love you. I have something greater for you because I love you. I'm trying to give you peace because I love you, right? And I'm thinking about this word and how his love is the foundation for the understanding of why God closes these doors, right? So what if we can really, truly, as a church, embrace this word and be passionate about this closed door and seek his peace and pursue it so that we can be comfortable in Christ and rest and wait in the Lord, right? Because I'm thinking about, you know, that person saying, you know, how come this job opportunity is not working out for me, like my story? How come I'm not getting into the school that I want to get into? How come this relationship isn't working out for me? How come I didn't get the house that I wanted to get? How come my way isn't prospering? And it's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. And he's closing that door. And he's closing it with excitement because he knows what's on the other side of that door. You don't. And he wants you to have an abundant life. So kind of in conclusion and a synopsis of this word, we have to let our hope be in the Lord. And we have to accept these closed doors, you know. And it might take you a while to be like me and be overzealous and excited, you know. But, you know, God wants to bring you there. That is the place where he wants you to be. And we had to remember, because if he did it before, then he could do it again. We had to remember and trust the Lord and give our lives to him completely and thank him for those closed opportunities and seek the open. Thank you for the word.
Great word.
So I can't just have anything I want?
You cannot, no.
Okay.
No, you can't have what you want.
It's so important to hear. And I hope you're catching what Kenny's saying at the end. You'll never understand how God is going to lead you if you haven't settled the issue of does he love you. If that's not settled in your life, good luck trusting him to lead you. Because if you haven't settled that in your life, here's what's going to happen. Every closed door is going to be a statement of he doesn't really love me. Every circumstance becomes a test of does he love me. Can you really imagine how God's feeling up there? I love you. That's really not the best for you. I happen to know a little bit more than you do. I know where things are headed. Why not trust me? But if we don't settle that in our hearts, and so what does the Bible say? Well, what should I trust in? How do I know that you are loving? The Bible says we know it by what? The cross of Jesus Christ. God showed his love for us by this. that not even when we were good and cared about him, he died for us, right? So that's the certainty. We have that moment, so we don't need another moment. It doesn't have to be circumstantial. Because if you do that, if you're not sure about God's love in your life, and then you're really hoping for a door to open and it closes, you're going to be, he doesn't love me. And your life is going to be this. This is your life. If you don't settle that issue, does he love you? The cross tells us, I've given everything for you. Romans 8:32 says, if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with the son, give us everything we need? And that word is so important. I mean, And Kenny, you're still in this. You're still in this right now, right? I mean, you're not just preaching something that's past. You're in the middle of, Lord, keep leading me because, you know, I want a pastor and I'm believing for all these things. And you're in the middle of this. And, I mean, can you imagine a place where it's like, all right, Lord, closed door. Man, I'm excited for the open door that's out there. That's a done. That is finished in me. That is not open for discussion. I already know there's an open door out there for me. The question is, what if you can do more than I can ask for or imagine? Then I can imagine some good things. This seemed really good for me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And Kenny, we were talking about this first, that, I mean, we said all these words, and the truth is, you are not you. You're married to Naima. Got two beautiful boys, one of which almost never smiles at me.
He never smiles at me either.
And a beautiful little girl.
Yeah.
So what about when it's just, I mean, think about, I mean, that point about Barnabas is great. Like, you know, hey, Barnabas, you know, you guys are going to have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough thing. Mm-hmm. But man, Barnabas in the middle of those Roman colonies, mm-hmm. whew, not good. No, Silas is there.
Yeah. So how that looks for my family is that I love the word that we had a couple of months ago at this church that we're better together, you know. And my wife and I, we had to realize that, you know, I'm not in the forefront and you're not behind me. We're together. We're together. We're leading. I mean, we're praying and asking God for, you know, just a vision. And I take the responsibility, and I say, God, I want a vision for my house. I want to lead my family well, you know, because I do have a wife. I do have kids, and they're relying on me, you know. So I don't put all that pressure on my back, you know, but I just kind of submit it to God and say, God, lead us and guide us, you know. And it took me a while to get to that place where I embraced, you know, God saying, hey, I don't want that for you, you know, because what sometimes the reason why we get upset is because it's something that we wanted. And that we're passionate about. And part of the story I didn't tell you guys is that last position that I applied for, when I was excited, I got to know, you know, that branch is not even open anymore. It's closed, you know? So you want to talk about God redirecting you and protecting you and keeping you from less than his best? I'm walking that out because he protected me from something that wasn't even going to stay open. He redirected me to seek my credentials. He kept me from less than his best because that's what he wanted for me, you know? And not only for me, but for my family, because it's not just about me. It's about all of us. So, I mean, it just is really, really, really a moment where we had to just do it together. And, you know, my wife would hear it all the time, and I'd come home and pout and say, you know, I didn't get it, you know? And
husbands but, never pout.
Yeah. I know you never do. I'm the only one. Yeah. So she would hear it, and, you know, it was important for her to be the one that encouraged me, you know, and said, hey, you know, something to pop, something to happen, just hang in there, you know, and I just had to believe that. I had to believe it. So
good.
That's kind of what it looks like.
So good. And did you catch that word that after they had already traveled so far, then God said, yeah, not here, keep doing that. Did you catch that? Because we do end up building a set of like, God, I've done a lot for you. Now it's time, pay up. You know? I mean, we do get that, right? harvest time, you've already worked super hard for a lot of months, and now you work harder, not less hard, at harvest time. Now it's more work. And I just want to, and the reason I'm saying this, I think there, my sense in my spirit is some of you, you've walked a pretty long walk of faith already, and you're a little frustrated that nothing's opening up, and God's saying, keep walking. Don't grow weary. Renew yourself in the Lord. I don't know if you know this story. I mean, if you know my family, you know our son's adopted from Ethiopia. And when we wanted to make that decision, we actually first chose El Salvador as our place where we were going to have, where we were going to adopt a child from. And Ethiopia was this close second, but we just thought, oh, it makes more sense to do El Salvador. It's closer. We can stay more connected. It's going to be easier. And we 2.5 years of government processing of papers. And did you know that to adoption, you have to get fingerprinted, then you have to get an authorization of your fingerprints, then someone has to authorize the authorization of the fingerprints. And don't forget, there's a fee for every one of it. Yeah. I mean, it was like a 2.5 year fee. We'd done everything, and then God closed the door in El Salvador on us. And it was like, God, we had 2.5 years we've been praying for this. And I remember going to Pastor Wayne, who was here, and so broken up, and it was a closed door, and it didn't make any sense. And I remember the word of the Lord came forth, said, hey, Sean, you can't imagine what God will do to make sure the right child's in your family. And if you know our family now, you know it's right. 2.5 years. Had to redo all this stuff and start again. And just like this is our life, right?
Yeah.
We got to keep walking by faith. God's got a great open door for us.
Yeah.
And I don't know what yours is. I think you probably do know yours, though. I think it's got to start with, you got to settle the love issue. He loves you. And what other people did to you is not his heart for you, right? Not his heart. Trust him. So I think we should just take a moment. Let's just have a moment of worship together. And during this worship, if there's any part of your heart that's like, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I know you love me. I'm going to settle that right now. Because there is a what's next in your life. You can look all the way in the back if you want and keep going. Why? You could turn around and say, what's next? Because God's got it for you. Let's have that moment, then we'll close in prayer.